John chapter 6, if you can please grab your Bible. It will also be on the screen so that we understand the context of what is going on here, as I will be starting in verse 22. So if you take a look at the first words of verse 22 of John 6, it says, on the next day. So the question is, what happened the day before? And that if you take a look at earlier in John 6, that Jesus took a little boy's lunch of a couple of loaves of barley and two fish and fed 5,000 men plus women and children from them. Then he subsequently that evening, the disciples were on a boat going across the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus comes walking to them on the water in the middle of the night. The disciples freak out. He says, oh, don't worry, it's me. He gets in the boat, and then immediately the boat transports from the lake to the location to which they were headed. And so that is what happens the day before. And it sets the stage for these next few verses, verse 22 through 35. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? It's a great question, by the way. Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. It's the word of the Lord for the nurture and admonition of his people today. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. I'm going to cut to the chase this morning. I really only have about 10 minutes, which is okay. That's a blessing for you all, I suppose. Michael's trying to cut me back some more here. Thanks, Michael. This is a very interesting passage. These people receive a meal. They have a need that needs met. They're hungry. They desire food. And Jesus feeds them. And then they go, oh, wow. I want more of that. And they end up coming and finding, seeking, looking for him. And Jesus sees right through all of their, well, flatly, their falseness. They're not really seeking Jesus. They're seeking free bread. They want free bread. That's what they're really looking for. So they go and find Jesus because he was the source of the free bread. And so they come and find Jesus, and Jesus cuts right to the chase with them. They ask him, when did you get here? And I love this. If you take a look in this verse, he says, they ask him in verse 25, when, Rabbi, when did you get here? And he completely ignores their question, but rather cuts directly to their motivation. And I want to tell you, the same Spirit of God that gave Jesus that type of insight is the Spirit of God that is here with us in this room today, that still has the ability and still desires to judge the thoughts and intentions of our hearts, and that will point out to us the motivations of our lives, and will cut to the chase, where instead of saying, Lord, when did you get here? that suddenly the Spirit starts to say, why are you so interested in finding me to begin with? You know, it's interesting because I believe that we are much like these people. What they were really interested in was bread, not Jesus. And I'm interested because they understood the way I get the bread is through Jesus. And so we do this. And we even dress it with good religious language. So for example, I desire peace. And so if you want peace, just come to Jesus because he'll give you peace that passes all understanding. We quote the text from the Apostle Paul. Or we say, oh, I need strength to get through my day today. I need strength. I need courage. I need power. And what do we say? Oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so come to Jesus. He'll give you courage and power and efficiency and effectiveness and strength. What's that? Exactly. Thank you. Philippians 4. It is taken out of context often. Or we say, oh, I need salvation. And so we say, come to Jesus, because he'll give you salvation. I haven't said anything that's actually incorrect yet, have I? Jesus gives peace. Jesus gives strength. Jesus gives salvation. But see, we missed the point. It's because the point was never to get salvation. The point was never to get peace. The point was never to get strength. The point was never to get hope. The point was to get the one who is peace, the one who is hope, the one who is strength, the one who is our salvation. And so Jesus cuts to the chase and he says, no, you're not really looking for me, you're looking for bread. And he starts to play with them on this metaphor of bread. And finally, he cuts to the point in John 6:35 of this wonderful verse, one that you should memorize. I am the bread of life. And he says, if you want all that you've desired, you don't really want those things. What you should really want is me. And that what we often do is we really want the gift rather than the giver. Failing to recognize that the giver is the gift. Let me say that again, because that could be really confusing if you're not listening closely. I got to remember exactly how I said it. This is the problem of preaching without notes. So here we go. That oftentimes, we're much more interested in the gift rather than the giver. But the problem is that we fail to realize that the gift is the giver. The gift is the giver. Jesus is the gift of God. And that if you want peace, forget about peace. Take your eyes off of the depression and the gunk going on in your life and put your eyes on Jesus. You want strength. Stop asking for strength. Put your eyes on Jesus. You want salvation. Stop clamoring for salvation. Put your eyes on Jesus. And if you put your eyes on Jesus, he will give you all of the strength you need. He will have power that you could not imagine pouring out from the storehouses of this Holy Spirit. You want peace? Put your eyes on Jesus. And if you do that, there will be a peace of beyond all understanding. But don't focus on the peace. Focus on Jesus. You want salvation. You're so scared of hell that you just want to get out. Get your eyes off of hell and put your eyes on Jesus. Because any place where Jesus is not there is hell. And you can desire heaven, the golden streets, the blessedness of peace with God for all eternity. You can desire all that. And if Jesus is not there, you've missed the point and it is no longer heaven. Jesus is the point of our faith. I fear often that I get so wrapped up in desiring the blessings and the good things of my life that Jesus can give me, that I fail to recognize that all that Jesus really desires is for me to seek him. today, if you're hearing the voice of God, I read the text from Psalm 95. Perhaps the voice of God, the voice of Jesus, is speaking to you saying, you know what? I long for you. I don't want you to seek after the bread that is going to perish any longer. I want you to seek after me. I want you to seek after me. And when you seek after me with your whole heart, you will find me. If you're one of those people seeking after fake bread, bread that's going to mold, that even when you do eat it, it's going to just pass through your body anyway. All of those false things, the entertainments, the pleasures that we seek after, the peace that we seek after, all of those things, all the ways that we try to fill up ourselves so that we can make it through another day of life. And that simply we need to take our eyes off of all of that junk and we raise them up and we look at the one who was crucified for our sin and rose again so that we might live. For he is the one who sustains and gives us life. He is our life. If you've been chasing after false stuff, I want to open the altars today. This place is a place of prayer and a place of openness before God. That's what I desire. And I want to sing a chorus first, and then there's a hymn that connects very deeply with this. But it's very, very simple. You guys probably know it. It's been on my mind all morning. But it just goes like this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's stand and sing that to the Lord. Let's turn our eyes and focus on him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. You will not find peace or strength or hope or courage. You will not find security for your family. You will not find friendship. You will not find all of the dreams of your heart until you take your eyes off of the dream and on to Jesus himself.